Help you roll away the years, then perhaps I will forgive you, and the hurt will disappear. But in a spirit of blind arrogance, you stood up and walked away. If you give me half a chance, I'll be waiting for the day.
This is brain damage. Just one of many public services we present here on WUSB, Stony Brook. Which, if you've never been to, is the kind of place where you never know what will happen next. And a lot of us like it that way. Because what happens next is not always what you want to happen. Therefore, not knowing about it is sometimes in everyone's best interest. We don't know what will happen in the next hour and 54 minutes. But we can make predictions. Predictions that we'll be talking to some of you over the telephone here. And perhaps venturing outwards and talking to some people that would never call us. In a world of 5 billion people, the possibilities are almost confining. But there are some things that we place value upon much, much higher than other things. And in our particular case, the weather stands paramount. And as yet another public service of this radio station, we regularly share with you such fascinating tidbits of information as the temperature and barometric pressure, winds, and even the relative humidity when applicable. It's 15 degrees Celsius in Stony Brook right now. 15 degrees Celsius. You might know that as 59 Fahrenheit. And it's going to rain. It's going to rain tonight. Low will be in the mid-50s. The chance of rain is almost 100%. And tomorrow, Sunday, it's going to rain. Highs will be 60 to 65 and the chance of rain, 90%. And repeating our dramatic temperature, it's 15 degrees Celsius, 59 Fahrenheit. But you know, the weather is not the only thing going on. I know that comes as a shock to a lot of our listeners. Comes as a shock to a lot of us here. But there are all kinds of other things happening in the world. And one of the more interesting was in the paper today. No, it wasn't a front page story. front page of today's news. They had to do with mowing the lawn. They had a real clever title. They called it Motown. Seems there's some big controversy about the town of Islip refusing to pick up grass clippings. Front page of Newsday. New York City could refuse to pick up the garbage. I don't think it would make the front page of the New York Times, but this has extensive coverage. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're going to talk about something that wound up on page 4 called Secret Shelter Revealed. A special bomb shelter for Congress was dug into the West Virginia hills alongside the luxurious Greenbrier Resort Hotel. During the height of the Cold War, and it's been maintained ever since, just in case of nuclear attack. The concrete and steel facility, which was built in 1958 and cost $14 million, is about 5 hours' drive from Washington. It includes halls where Congress could meet, and I don't know if C-SPAN would be able to cover that. All kinds of communication equipment, and a well-equipped underground bunker. It was not built to sustain a direct nuclear strike, so its location was kept top secret. Only a few executive branch officials and the top leaders in Congress were supposed to be aware of it. The shelter's existence was confirmed yesterday in reaction to stories by the Washington Post and Washington Times. The facility is just one of several maintained by the federal government, including underground shelters for the president, the cabinet, and Supreme Court justices. A statement yesterday signed by the top Democrats and Republicans in Congress decried the reporting on the congressional shelter, which they said was classified. Boo-hoo. Leonard Downey Jr., the Post's executive editor, said the paper weighed the evidence and concluded this was a historically significant and interesting story, and its publication would not pose a great danger to national security or human life. House Majority Leader Richard Gephardt said in his own statement yesterday, "This is a relic of the Cold War which probably ought to be mothballed. Viewed from today's vantage point, this facility has clearly outlived its usefulness." Well, it may not be a secret anymore, but as far as we're concerned, it might just as well be a secret to us, because I don't think we're going to get very much information from the phone company. Now, as many of you know, we always believe in stepping out and confusing as many operators as possible. However, today, I don't think we're going to confuse anybody. I think we're just going to get a very negative reaction. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I've got the proper area code for West Virginia. I sure hope I do. And we'll see if we can get a phone number for this particular nuclear installation or bomb shelter, what have you.
This is Jewel. What city, please?
Yes. Hello. Is this West Virginia?
Yes, it is.
Oh, great. I'm looking for something in the Greenbrier area. Do you cover that?
Now, Greenbrier area. Are you talking about Greenbrier County or?
Well, it's the West Virginia Hills, and it's near the Greenbrier Resort Hotel.
That's White Silver Springs.
Mm-hmm. By Silver Springs. Okay, I need the phone number for. There's a secret bomb shelter there. Are you familiar with that?
No.
Actually, it's not a secret anymore. It was in the Washington Times and Post. But I'm not sure what a bomb shelter would be listed under. Can you help me at all with that?
No, I wouldn't have any idea unless you might check with the local authorities.
Okay, who would that be?
I'm not sure whether you want to go under, like, county or state.
Do you have anything for civil defense?
I can check, just a moment.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. No, so they don't have anything listed for that area.
I see. Nothing at all, huh?
No, nothing in the Silver Springs area.
Okay. All right, I guess we'll just have to go and find out ourselves then. Thank you for your help.
You're welcome.
Well, I guess we really couldn't expect much from them. Or from anybody, for that matter. I mean, they certainly have phones there. Would you like to be in a bomb shelter with no phone? I wouldn't. Okay, but there are a couple of things we can find out from the phone company because they're here to serve us, and we do need to get bits of information from them. And we're here to ask the questions, they're here to answer the questions, and sometimes get a little confused along the way, but that's the nature of the business.
Telephone, Mr. Rome, may I help you?
Yes, hi, I need overseas, please.
One moment, please.
Hey, that rhymes. That's really clever. Overseas, please.
One moment. For a long-distance operator who can assist you.
That's a new recording. What do you know about that?
Hey, Tinsy, how may I help you?
Yes, hello. I need rates, please. I'm making a collect call to FIMFU, and I'd like to know what the cost of that would be at around noontime on Tuesday.
Are you calling to where?
This would be to FIMFU. FIMFU.
Hold on, sir.
Everybody knows where FIMFU is. They're going to check where that is. Be interesting to see what they come up with. Oh, and there is a FIMFU. I would not steer somebody wrong on something so important as that. By the way, our telephone number is all jammed up for one thing, but when it's not jammed up, it's 632-6901, area code 516. We'll be taking phone calls in just a couple of minutes. And you know, I think she quit. I think she walked away. She's not coming back. It's wouldn't be the first time. I'd hate to be an operator while I was on the air. That must be a certain amount of dread all throughout the country because you never know who we're going to hit next. Asking about FIMFU. Thank you. And we have news that we'll, I guess we can read as far as, AT&T is going to go on strike. That's interesting. Okay, now we got something that that could potentially be of interest here. A strike deadline is now about 3 hours away for AT&T, the nation's largest long-distance company. AT&T and two unions continue to negotiate in Washington. But a union spokeswoman says key issues remain unresolved, including job security. And if this teletype ribbon gets any worse, we're not going to know what happened. Officials in Yugoslavia, this is an unrelated story, officials in Yugoslavia say UN sanctions imposed today are a form of tyranny. That's right, tyranny. They're experts on that over there. The Security Council today voted to bar the Serb-led government from world trade in efforts to halt violence that scarred the region since former republics declared their independence. About,
Hello?
Oh, yes.
Oh, so you're calling FIMFU?
That's right. Well, I'm not calling it now, but I need rates on call and collect.
All right, hold on.
Do you think she knows what FIMFU is? Do you know what FIMFU is? Does anybody? I do. But that goes without saying, doesn't it? I wouldn't ask for a city that I didn't know existed. It's loads of fun. Look up a city and just ask what the rates are. Anyway, about 4,500 Ross Perot supporters turned up in Little Rock, Arkansas today to help him get on the independent ballot there. Perot likened President Bush's handling of the budget deficit to a neighbor who kept a crazy aunt in an upstairs room. Nice analogy. Nobody ever talked about her, but everybody knew she was there, said Perot. All right, President Bush heard predictions this evening that he'll take the state of Texas by a landslide come November. He went to a fortune teller, apparently. Bush is now in the Dallas area for a GOP fundraiser. Earlier today, he talked with California farmers. The Headline read, "Nevermore," on the last edition of the Richmond, Virginia News Leader, published today. The 95-year-old afternoon daily was the latest casualty of America's changing reading habits. In other words, no reading habits whatsoever. And that's the way things are today. Another newspaper bites the dust. And it's something that we've seen so many times before. It's something that we'll probably see quite a few times in the future. We can take bets on it today, folks. We can take bets as to which will go out of business first, the Daily News or the New York Post. You know, one of them isn't going to last the next 5 years. And probably the News. I would guess the News, because they've just been treading water now for the last couple of years. And the Post is just a little too irrational to sink quite so quickly. You know, this is probably the longest I've ever been on hold. Where do you think they're going? Well, what we're going to do is play a public service announcement, and we'll cut the public service announcements short if they come back. And if they don't come back, we'll come back and we'll continue to wait for them. That's just the way it is. And our best fight club, you got nothing to lose.
And our best fight club, you got nothing to lose. Attention all Americans, your rights to personal freedom and health care choice are under attack. The FDA is currently using brutal tactics aimed at harassing alternative healthcare practitioners and producers of natural remedies. There are three bills pending in Congress that, if passed, will give the FDA expanded powers that could lead to the end of the alternative healthcare movement. These are H.R. 3642, S-2135, and S-1982. We must act now before it's too late.
If the FDA gets their proposed regulations enacted, then 90% of the 10,000 health food stores in this country will go out of business. If passed, the FDA can forbid the sale of most herbs and herbal preparations, forbid the sale of amino acids, and forbid the sale of all vitamins and minerals with potencies over the FDA's new, ridiculously low RDA.
What can you do? Write to your senator and congressman saying you oppose these bills. Send messages about your opposition to these bills to the White House fax lines at 202-456-2412 or 202-456-2461. Register to vote and be sure that your local candidate knows your views on these issues.
Or you can join us for a massive march on Washington, D.C. on June 14th to preserve your freedom of choice in health care. Save nutritional supplements from being taken off the market. Stop the FDA from destroying your health. Show your support of alternative health care. Support the freedom of doctors and other health care practitioners to practice innovative medicine and nutrition.
For more information, call 212-463-0454 for details about the March on Washington, or send a self-addressed stamped envelope to us at Natural Alternatives, P.O. Box 525, Oyster Bay, New York, 11771 to receive your free action kit.
And stand up for your rights.
Stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up. Don't give up the fight.
Well, I'm beginning to wonder if we should give up this fight here. We've been on hold now for, what, a good 10 minutes, and no sign of any life out there. That's the sound of AT&T hard at work. Amazing. Just one information on how much a collect call to Thin Food costs. I mean, not a big deal. Okay, this is what I think we should do. I think we should call them again, except call them again and keep them on the line, so that way if they come back, we'll have two operators, and two operators are always better than one. Or most of the time, that's true anyway. Let's see if we can actually get another operator here. Okay.
New York Telephone, Ms. Green, can I help you?
Yes, can I have AT&T, please?
Please.
Before the strike hits.
One moment. For a long-distance operator who can assist you.
Yeah, well, that's more than we got last time.
AT&T operative?
Yes, hello. I was I called earlier, and I must have gotten cut off or something. I was trying to find out the collect rate to Thimfu. I'm making a call there at 12,
sure.
About 12 noon on Tuesday.
For what country, sir?
Well, the city is Thimphu.
Thimphu where? What?
That's the capital of Bhutan.
Bhutan? One moment.
That's right. Thank you. I have a feeling we're getting further. Now, the other operator is still... We're still on her hold circuit.
B-H-U-T-A-N, that's the name of the country?
That's the one, yes. Okay. Bring back memories just hearing her spell it. Bhutan's a tiny little kingdom in Asia. They don't have very many telephones.
Okay, you want to know the rates there?
That's right, yes. This would be for about 12 noon on Tuesday.
Okay, so that would run until 12 noon, 6 a.m., so 6 p.m., that would be $3.78 for the first minute, and $2.98 for each additional.
All right, now, is that person-to-person or station-to-station?
Person-to-person is always going to be more.
Right, okay, what's the person-to-person going to be?
Operator station, operator person, is going to be $6.78 for the first minute.
And how much for each additional?
For each additional. It's just the first minute. Goes up.
Oh, just the first minute is different.
And then it goes back down to $2.98.
Now, this is the rate that somebody in Bhutan would be charged?
From the U.S., sir, I don't know about Bhutan. I know U.S. call from U.S. calling to Bhutan.
I see. Because I'd be making the call collect to them, and I just wanted to make sure that they could afford it.
Uh-huh. That's the rate, sir.
Okay. All right, thank you very much. All right. Well, we got rid of both of the operators there. The other one still had us on hold. I guess... just couldn't take the pressure or something like that. I don't know if you were listening to the public service announcement on the March on Washington, but gave out a couple of fax numbers. That's the kind of thing I like to see, people giving out fax numbers to the White House. Let's see if those actually are fax numbers. One was 202-456-2412. That's the sound of it ringing. Yes? Yes, that's a fax machine. We are making noise in the White House. And the grand finale. It's amazing. Amazing what you can do with a little technology. Let's see if that other one actually works, too. We want to make sure that we give you accurate information here. So we know that one fax machine is 202-456-2412. This is presumably another fax machine. Well, maybe they're out of paper or something, but that number was 202-456-2461. And either they unplugged it or it's out of paper or something's wrong with it. So that's how you can get your opinions out there, because sometimes it's hard to reach a human being, but fax machines don't discriminate. All right, enough of that. 632-6901 is our telephone number, and... let's see, we have five open lines there. Let's open up the other lines, 632-6500, for those of you that didn't make it on the first go-around. We're talking about, what are we talking about? Nothing in particular right now. I guess the upcoming AT&T strike, presidential debates and candidacies and all that kind of thing. Whatever else is happening out there, you tell me. Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing?
How you doing, Eric? Before I want to talk about something that happened in school the other day, but I'd like to say hi to Jessica and that I'm sorry for everything that happened on Friday. And
so am I. It was a real bummer, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It was like really, it was like my fault, I guess. But
no, it wasn't all your fault.
Yeah, it couldn't have been.
I mean,
but
some of it was your fault.
It's been
certainly.
Weird.
Yeah, well, it's been weird for a lot of us, and Friday was certainly no exception. Friday was one of those days.
It was a really weird day.
Friday was a weird day. I'll tell you, it was a strange day.
It was so weird. I really flipped out Friday night too.
Well, how about during the day, though? That was even stranger, don't you think?
Yeah, it was like it happened during the day, and I went to work, and then I flipped out during the night.
Yeah, and there was sort of that lull in between, and then it just sort of all came back in a rush.
Yeah, and then I just went like haywire, and I just wanted to tell her that I'm sorry.
Well,
no, and
tell her I'm sorry, too, and I'm sure everybody else around here is sorry. And
she'll like this. Do-do-do-do-do. Inside joke, don't worry about it.
Okay. No, I don't worry about it.
What I want to talk about was, it was Thursday, we had I go to Comstock High School, and we had a...
Comstock High School, that's in Port Jefferson, right?
Yeah, that was, I don't know if you saw it on Channel 12, but we had a thing, the students asked for it to talk about the Rodney King issue.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of turned into a Spanish-white racial issue.
What is a Spanish-white racial issue?
Yeah, because, like, they were talking about how one girl got up and said, how, like, in middle school, we see, like, 7 Spanish kids jump one white kid when, like, a white kid has a problem with one, but you never see 7 white kids jump one Spanish kid, which is true, and then the Spanish kids denied it, and then we got into a really big heat argument about it.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, so there was some words said, but Channel 12 didn't air that, but they were talking about next year we're going to have, like, maybe a whole day of it. It was, like, it was only 4 periods of the day, but...
Uh-huh. Do you think it was constructive having this discussion?
Yeah, like, it started out, like, the first 2 periods, it started out, you know, they were talking about the Rodney King and people were saying what they thought. And then it just started getting into black-white, and with my school now, it's Spanish and white.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and black. It's I think it's more heated between Spanish and white in our school, but...
Do you think things got worse as a result, or do you think the two groups are closer together?
I don't know, because, like, the Spanish kids just walked out of the auditorium after they said what they had to say, so... I don't really know, because I'm not really friends with any of them. I try not to get involved between them, but just the fact that it was in my school, you know, it starts, you know, it gets, you know, I have to be involved. But I hope it changed things, because it's really getting to be, you know, a pain in the neck, because, like, I had friends that got jumped by, like, 7 Spanish kids.
Well, now, when they get jumped by these Spanish kids, what exactly is it these Spanish kids want?
I guess revenge, because, like, a situation that happened was when... Last year, one of my friends they were playing in gym or something, and the kid threw the volleyball at my friend, and my friend just threw it back at him, and, like, it hit him in the face, and, like, he had a bloody nose.
Uh-huh.
So then that kid got all his Spanish friends and went after my friend. And they just, you know, they jumped him and beat the hell out of him.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, then it died after that, but just the fact that, like, you know, they're all just, see, they stick together, and then, you know, they think it's a big racial thing. But, I mean, you know, I mean, I have no problems with them. No, I mean, I'll say, you know, I'm friends with a couple of them, but I just don't like the way that they have to jump in the group and take on this one person.
Well, I mean, keep in mind that it's easy to refer to them as a group, but they are composed of individuals.
Yeah.
And if you get to know some of those individuals, you might actually see that this group is not so, I mean, it's not something that dictates every moment of their lives.
Right.
They can override the group mentality. But if they're thought of as just being part of a group all the time, you know, it's going to be very difficult to get out of that.
That's you know, that was a lot of that was being said too. That you know, I mean, I personally, okay, I like hockey. Now, if I have no problems with it, if somebody, you know, if somebody said to me that he likes hockey, like a Spanish kid, I'll take him to a game. You know,
uh-huh.
I mean, you know, I don't have you know, I'll say, you know, I'm white now, but you know, I have no problems with him. I mean, it's like. A lot of them are complaining about we're being racial towards them, but in the same token, they're doing the same thing to us.
Well, yeah, but obviously that doesn't make it right either way, you see. I mean, as soon as you say them versus us, you know, it becomes racial, whether you're a racist or not.
Yeah.
You're making a distinction and saying they think one way, we think another way.
Yeah.
And there's all kinds of elements of doubt in both groups. And it's necessary to reach out and try to find an individual there that you can relate to, and that's the first step.
Yeah, see, a lot, you know, a lot of kids have been trying that, but it just doesn't seem to work. But
they've really been trying.
You know, then they say they want to make a difference and change things. So, you know, I'd like to see hopefully they're going to make an effort too, because you know, it's starting to get out of hand. But I don't know. And I learned last week. I was one of the people in the teleconference. And I learned something, too, that brain damage listeners might be interested in, that Mr. Quail is actually Mr. Connecticut.
Is that true? I don't think so.
No, it is.
Well, first of all, I don't see how he could be calling from Connecticut, since he's always one of the first couple of calls. I guess, you know, he might have a speed dial or something. I don't know, but...
Yeah, I got that, too.
Uh-huh. Well, but, do you have us programmed in your speed dial?
What?
Do you have us programmed in your speed dial?
Yeah.
Wow, so how does that work? You hit, like, pound something and...
No, actually, like, about, like, 1150, I just dial a number, I just put redial.
Oh, you have redial?
Yeah. Which usually I call, like, around, like, 1155, and somebody answered the phone tonight, and I got, like, really...
You might be interested in this. You're on Long Island, I assume. What part of Long Island are you in?
I'm on Port Jefferson.
Port Jefferson. Okay, Port Jefferson, you have a DMS 100 switch, which is what operates your telephones.
Uh-huh.
It's possible that you've heard of caller ID, right?
Yeah.
You know, caller ID has been approved for New York.
Hmm.
It's going to be arriving in Suffolk County this summer.
Really?
Yes. Parts of it. Parts of it are already here, though, and you might want to experiment with this. And I say this to all the listeners. I know it works in the Ronkonkoma area. I do know this for a fact. If you dial *69... you can return the call of the last person who called you.
Yeah.
Whether or not you picked it up.
Yeah, I was telling about that over the teleconference last week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting because they haven't really gone out of their way to tell you that this exists.
Yeah.
But it's
That's
there.
That's like if you get, like, crank phone calls.
Right.
Yeah.
But you might not know it. If you call somebody, you might not know that they're... While they cannot see your phone number, they can call you back, which I think is just about as good.
Right.
But check it out. Try dialing *69 and see if you ring somebody that called you while ago or something.
Yeah, I could try that.
All right.
I don't know. It sounds pretty interesting. But,
it is. It's fascinating.
Yeah. And also, like, I learned, like, I found out who started the Klondike Bar thing. See, that was really great last week.
I haven't heard about Klondike Bars in a long time.
Yeah, no, but we found out who started that. We found out who started the dog taking over the world.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember that, too.
Yeah, somebody called up 1 week and started barking. I think Matt was here. I don't know. It was great. I mean, I think we stayed on. I was talking to, like, two of the other guys till about 2 o'clock, 2:30 in the morning, actually.
Yeah?
After the show, but you probably took off, right?
I don't know. Did I? Probably did.
You probably did, because we
usually
were talking about that.
Usually, 2 o'clock, I punch out of here, and then that's it, yeah.
It was pretty interesting, though.
Wow. Well, I'm glad people liked it, and we'll do it again sometime. I'm not going to do it again tonight. I know everybody's going to ask me that, it's really complicated and crazy.
Yeah,
it is.
And like I was talking to the guy from the sports section. You know, is it possible you can do that for them?
Anything's possible, but it is very complicated.
It's like I call that a lot too. You know, I call the show and I call that one, but I don't call that other Mark guy at Sunday at 8:30, whatever time he's on. If he's a loser, but
he's a loser.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't like him. But, what was I trying to get at? Okay, and a lot of times I have Stan Fischler on, and, like, I want to talk to the guy, because he's, like, a big hockey analyst, and I want to talk to him, but we can't.
Yeah, well, I know, things are extremely difficult, tying people together in these particular... You have to have a master's degree in order to be able to do it.
Mm. Can you ever put, like, 10 people together, like, with the second line?
I don't think you can patch two groups of 5 people together, no, I don't think that's possible.
No.
At least not with the current technology.
Okay. Well, yeah, when are you going to do this again, you know?
In a couple of weeks, probably.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right?
All right,
I'm stop babbling.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Okay, no problem.
632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning, you're on the air.
Yes, sir, this is Mr. Quill.
You're always second, you know? You're always coming in second.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's you know, where you should be, is number two.
Yeah, that guy just called said I was Mr. Connecticut. That's wrong. I can do Mr. Connecticut's voice. I'm not him, though.
Let's hear Mr. Connecticut's voice.
How you doing, pal? Mr. Connecticut here. Now look at these damn Mexicans. That's him.
Yeah, that's close enough, anyway. As close as I want to get.
You know, last Tuesday, in today's Newsday, on page 2, they have a...
Let's see here. Page 2 of today's Newsday.
Top left-hand corner.
Murphy for president. How about that? Murphy Brown for president, eh?
Uh-huh.
I'll bet you don't like that.
No, I do not. I don't like it at all.
Uh-huh.
In that survey, it says that more people would think that Murphy Brown would be more qualified to be president than Dan Quayle.
That's got to tell you something, though. If more people think that a fictitious character is a better vice presidential or presidential candidate than somebody who really exists and is currently vice president, you got to wonder. You got to wonder about the state of discontent in this country.
I don't think they really mean it. I think they were just doing that for a joke.
You think all these people were doing it for a joke?
Yeah. Do you really think that Murphy Brown... I mean, Candace Bergen is more qualified to be president than Dan Quayle.
Well, wait, are you talking Murphy Brown or Candace Bergen? Because, you know, one's a real person and one's a fictitious character. I've seen her doing those Sprint commercials. You know, she seems to have her head on her shoulders.
Well, do you agree with that? that Murphy Brown's more qualified to be president?
Well, you know, I've never really watched the show that carefully. I mean, Mary Tyler Moore, I'd say, she, Mary Richards, rather, from the Mary Tyler Moore show, she could be a good vice president, or president, even.
Oh, come on.
I think so. You don't think so?
No.
I mean, she's kind of, you know, I don't know. She's got kind of quirky attitudes and things like that.
And it also,
a little too chipper, maybe, but...
It also said that Murphy Brown would be a... Murphy Brown, the character,
yeah,
be a better parent than Dan Quayle. And that's pretty stupid.
That was according to his kids, wasn't it?
No.
Oh, no, I'm misreading then. Well, they did this poll, a telephone survey of 600 people, and it was done for Entertainment Weekly. And that's the results they got. 43% to 32% said that... Brown would be a better parent than Vice President Dan Quayle. 40% to 38% said she'd be a better president than Dan Quayle. That's incredible.
It's incredible that they would think that a single mother would be a better parent than a two-parent family.
Well, why should that make any difference at all?
Because it rates for that baby to be involved in crime and drugs and go on welfare are much higher than in a two-parent family.
Where do you get that?
It's just fact. Ask anybody, it's true.
Well, I'm asking you. How is that possible? Right. I mean, if you have one good parent, how is that going to make you turn to drugs?
There are one good parent families, but most of them, the rates are more higher than for two parent families.
Well, it seems to me, I mean, this is only my limited view of this, but if you have two parents influencing you, you have twice the chance of getting a bad influence.
Oh, that's wrong. It's absolutely wrong.
Well, that's one way of looking at it, isn't it?
Yes. Don't you think that that when Murphy Brown had that baby, it shows young teenage girls that it's okay to have a baby without a father?
If you want a baby, it's okay to have a baby without a father. I mean, yeah, obviously you're going to have a father at some point, but if you don't want to be married, what's wrong with that?
I think it's terrible.
If you're a good parent, if you're able to raise a kid... You know, there are no strict rules saying that you have to have a father figure and you have to have a mother in a two-car garage and all this kind of thing. You know, who makes up these rules? I mean, how is that something that has to be followed? Where is it written?
Our families cause that child isn't disciplined enough, and that's what one of the main contributors.
Generalities. You're giving me generalities here. I see no evidence to back that up.
Yeah, the L.A. riots.
What do the L.A. riots have to do with single parents?
Most of those black kids did not...
What, did they ask, have them fill out forms as they were leaving the stores and see what kind of families they came from?
Most of those black kids don't have fathers. In fact, most black families don't have fathers to raise them up. That's why getting in prison is more likely for a black man than for a white man.
So you're saying if the fathers just stayed home, there wouldn't be any riots?
No. Well, that was inevitable to happen. Black people always riot. So it was a Hispanic.
You just can't stop it, no matter what.
Well,
whether the fathers stay home or not, they're just going to riot.
That riot was going to happen no matter what if all the kids had fathers in there. You know, and it doesn't help anything. He's absolutely right that it doesn't help anything to when.
You have to make a comment about a TV show in the first place. He's the vice president. I mean, why is he critiquing a fictitious character and saying this is not right for our country?
Because
he deserves what he gets if he does something like that.
It's not a very conservative message to send out. I mean, The Cosby Show. We should have more shows on television like The Cosby Show for a conservative family instead of like Murphy Brown and Hide Your Children.
A real realistic situation comedy about a black middle class family whose father's a doctor and his mother is a lawyer. You know, it's nice and all that, but it doesn't represent reality.
Uh-huh.
You know?
But do you agree with him? Yes.
There's a lot more single parents around, I think, than middle class black families where the father's a doctor and the mother's a lawyer. You know, I just happen to think that's true.
Do you think there's one black family with that situation?
Oh, sure. There's lots, but I'm saying, you know, they do not represent a sizable number by any stretch of the imagination, and there's a reason for that. And we should be asking ourselves why that is, you know? What is making it so difficult? What is making it so hard for black families to move up in this country? Now, we're talking everything from being steered away from houses by real estate agents.
No. I don't think so. I think it's because...
it happens right here on the island.
The government likes to give out welfare checks, and every time they have an extra baby, that's more money for them. And it, and then they go on drugs. They use some of that money for drugs. And I think a good idea would be birth control coupons. Only just for birth control, nothing else, for welfare families.
You know, you call yourself Mr. Quayle, and I really understand why now, because it's like, you know, I'm really tied into to Danny here.
Well, don't you think that's a good idea?
It's in keeping with a lot of the other ideas I've heard.
You don't think that's a good idea?
I just don't know what to expect next.
Come on, give an answer, yes or no.
Oh, I'd rather remain on the sidelines for the birth control coupons, huh? Well, why don't you just tell us how that would work?
Because they get like $10 every week. It's $40 a month just to buy birth control coupons, and they won't have children. They don't have enough money to take care of themselves and put in the bank instead of wasting it on all their other five children if they have them.
Uh-huh.
I think that would there would be less people in poverty then.
I see.
Wait, let me clear up one situation.
Yeah, you better clear up something.
All right. Last week when I was talking to people, everybody thought that I always go on the show and the gay show and I curse and I make all these comments. That's not true. There are two Mr. Quails. One kid calls up here every week and...
Yeah, that guy from D.C., I know.
No? So I just want everybody to know that that's not me. And
yeah.
I never called the show and curse.
The immature one comes from D.C., we all know that.
But what do you mean, D.C.?
You know, the city down
oh,
there.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about Vice President Dan Quayle.
You mean there's a third one?
Yes.
Oh, Lord.
No, I mean the other guy who calls up and curses every week. He'll probably call up soon. He's probably on one of the other lines.
Well, I'm sure you'll get his attention one way or the other.
All right.
Do the two of you know each other?
No, I don't know him.
Oh.
One of the kids I spoke to knew him, though.
Uh-huh. Well, you should get together. Maybe you could run for something.
No, he's an idiot, that's why. Makes me look bad.
Well, wait a minute. You do need to appeal to idiots, don't you?
No. Only smart people are in the smart, mostly white people are
right,
in the Republican Party.
Let's take a look at that for a second. You just mentioned something about the Republican Party. Now, with this whole John McNamara thing, I don't know if people are following this, but a well-known and well-respected developer, quote-unquote, has been found... to have been defrauding General Motors now for years. We're talking $500 million here.
That's the
old now it seems that just like everybody in the Pine Barrens Commission and all the environmentalists have been saying, it seems that town Republicans have been in back pockets of developers for years, and that every time some kind of development was approved, that there'd be some kind of payoff to Republicans, and this is all being uncovered even as we speak. And Republicans are really worried now. Republicans think that maybe they're going to lose a lot of power this November because of this scandal.
That's not true. That was just one specific case. Look at Frank Jones. He's doing a good job. The guy who issued that don't bag it, what you said before.
Uh-huh.
He's doing a good job as ISIP supervisor. He's a Republican. And Long Island is a mostly Republican... Republican.
Yeah, what about those leaders that have been, you know, defrauding us?
Those are just one specific cases, that's all.
Seems to be more than one case.
Whole Republican Party for that. In fact, most of the Democrats are getting in trouble. Like, all the guys in check bouncers, most of them were Democrats. Barely any were Republicans. I think we got to bounce them out of office. In the Republican Congress. Then
well, I don't know. I mean, you know, the Republicans are getting payoffs and the Democrats' checks are bouncing. I don't know who makes look guilty.
I think George Bush is going to win. Did you hear what Ross Perot said about gay people last night?
I didn't see that interview. I have it on tape. I've not yet watched it.
He said that he would not put gay people as cabinet members. And he doesn't think that gay people belong in the military either.
Well, that's pretty shocking, I think.
I think the day before that aired, he reached his peak, and now he's going to go all downhill from here.
But isn't that something Dan Quayle would say?
Yes, he's the attack man. He's the attack man for George Bush, and that's why we're going to win by a landslide.
Yeah, but isn't that something that the Republican Party would agree with, not putting gay people in the cabinet post?
No, that's not true.
It's not true.
Ross Perot would say that. David Duke would say that.
Well, what would George Bush say?
He would say that they can go in. That'll be fine. We're a politically correct party, most of the time.
I never quite heard it described that way before, but that's interesting.
Uh-huh. All right, vote Republican and Quayle in 96.
Right. All right. 632-6901. God help us, everyone. Good morning. Is anybody there? All right, we'll move on. Good morning.
Yeah, hey, what's up, Eric?
How you doing?
Yeah, this is Ken from Oconcoma.
How you doing?
I want to commend you first on the teleconference last week. I thought it was really cool.
Oh, glad you liked it.
Yeah, you going to be doing it again soon?
Probably in a couple of weeks we'll try that again. For those of you that didn't listen last week, we tied a lot of our listeners together in groups of five and had them all conversing with each other for the entire duration of the show, on and off air. It was just an experiment we had with our phone system here, and something that we'll probably try again in the future. It does take a lot of effort, though, I'll say that.
Yeah, I gotta hand it to you. You were going nuts trying to go back and forth all of them.
Well, when you have 20 people spread out all over a telephone, you don't know where you left certain people. It gets very confusing very quickly.
Yeah, I was on the line with Brian from the sports section. Dan from Port Jeff, who just called in, Mr. Quayle.
Uh-huh.
And they were all pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Quayle was just saying about Murphy Brown and Dan Quayle.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks before this whole thing came out with the two of them, I saw a thing with Marilyn Quayle on TV Guide saying that they asked if they ever watched shows like that. And she said they hardly ever watched TV. They've never seen Murphy Brown. Then 2 weeks later, they come out with all this. Because they asked them, do you watch like political shows like Murphy Brown? She said, no, we've never seen it.
So how do you think they came out with this comment? You think it was just a crazy speechwriter?
Well, no, maybe not. Maybe you just saw one episode, two episodes, and jumped all these opinions on it just from watching one or two episodes.
Well, that wouldn't be inconceivable.
Yeah, he'd do something like that.
But you think he'd do it again, knowing that the backlash he's gotten as a result?
Yeah, maybe, probably.
Well, Bush is backing him up, isn't he?
I don't know. I really haven't heard anything, but I think so.
Yeah, he's giving him 100% of his support.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, this might be the thing that pushes him under, you know, attacking a popular TV show. That's something that, you know, you might not be able to get away with.
Yeah. Have you seen the papers, this whole Amy Fisher case?
The new Fatal Attraction case, right?
Yeah, that one.
The local one.
Yeah. The one, girl shot her lover's head and, ice in the head.
Yeah.
What do you think? What, do you think she did it? Well, you know she did it, but do you think she...
Well,
like,
I mean, she supposedly confessed, and then she said it was an accident. Now, I'm just wondering, how do you accidentally shoot your lover's wife in the head? That's, you know, something to think about. I don't know. How do you do that accidentally?
She's just showing it to her, and it accidentally
went off. Take a look at my gun here. Whoops. I don't know. You know, it doesn't seem very logical to me. But then again, I don't know all the facts.
Yeah, she seems like a pretty messed up girl, though.
Uh-huh.
Somebody Mr. Quayle will go out with.
Well, I don't know. I don't want to get into that.
Did you see on... it was on the news earlier, and I haven't really heard much else. It was this guy, and he was seeing a psychiatrist, and he pulled the knife on the psychiatrist, and the police shot him, like, 12 times.
Oh, wait, what are the police doing in the psychiatrist's office?
The psychiatrist recommended the guy go into the hospital, like a mental hospital, and the guy didn't want to go. So then when the doctor called him the cops, they escorted him out and bring him to this place. So the guy supposedly pulled the knife. He was black. Sharpton was talking about it before. He pulled the knife on the doctor, and they shot the kid 12 times, and one bullet landed in the kid's mother or something like that.
The kid's mother was there? Oh, boy.
It wasn't a kid. It was like a 20-year-old guy, I think.
I didn't hear about it. When did this happen?
I don't know when it happened, but I saw Sharpton on the Channel 4 News at like 11 talking about it.
I mean, you know, you could see the logic behind, you know, defending somebody. But shooting someone 12 times is a bit of an overreaction, and the police have to learn that they've got to show some restraint.
That's exactly what I was thinking, because even if the guy did pull a knife, which hasn't yet been proven, 12 times in 2 seconds?
I mean, the guy's obviously got a problem. He's seeing a psychiatrist and pulling knives and needing to go to mental institutions or whatever. You know, so you don't treat someone like that as if, you know, they're completely accountable for their actions, because they're not.
Yeah, it's like not even in L.A., here in New York, everywhere. It's like all the cops are prejudiced. He's black. Shoot him.
Do you think that was the reason?
I think that was part of the reason.
Well, I do think people, and I see this among my peers as well, I think people are afraid of black people a lot more than they are of white people. And if they see someone who's black doing the exact same thing that someone who's white does, they'll react in a different way. And you got to ask yourself that. You got to be honest with yourself and say, am I immune from that? And I think very few of us are.
Yeah, well, black people in general, have a bad rap.
Uh-huh. No pun intended, I assume.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Sympathy, if anything.
Uh-huh.
Because they always have the stereotype as so-called bad people.
Uh-huh. That's interesting, but it's something that has not really changed over the years. You know, the fear and the misunderstanding is still with us as strong as ever.
Yeah.
And that in turn leads to, you know, hatred on the other side as well, which, of course, isn't right either.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's a domino effect.
Yeah. All right, that's about it for me. Can I say hi to a few people before I go?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, Jeremy, Jay, Mike, Matt, Casey, Valerie, Tom, Rob, Mary, Danny, Chris, Gabe,
good
and
Lord.
My mother was listening somewhere.
You know a lot of people.
What?
You know a lot of people, don't you?
Yep.
Wow.
All right, so I'll talk to you next week.
All right.
All right, bye.
Must be good to have friends that you can list like that. Boy. 632-6901, 632-6500, area code 516. Good morning.
Hello, this is Rich.
Hi, Rich.
Hi. No, I did like sort of a racism theme here tonight.
A racism theme?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
All right, well, I go to an all-white Catholic school. There's like no black people in the whole entire school.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. It's like, there's like no one in the area black.
Uh-huh.
All right, and we were talking in class one day about something. Yeah, heard of the movie White Men Can't Jump?
I've heard about it, yeah.
All right, let's say something, like, derogatory about white people. That they, like, say, suck playing basketball.
Uh-huh.
And, like, no white people really care about it. They go see the movie. It's, like, a great movie and everything. But if I were to go out and make a movie called Black Men Can't Skate because they can't play hockey, like, I have, like, Al Sharpton and a whole bunch of black people protesting, threatening to kill me and everything.
Well, there was a film last year, wasn't there, called How to Make Love to a Negro Without Getting Tired?
Sound like that.
Yeah, and, I mean, you could look upon that as being derogatory in another way, and certain papers wouldn't print the whole title. They would only print How to Make Love, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
But I see your point. You know, if, you see a lot of humor from black comedians about, you know, white folks, and of course, you know, humor from white comedians about black folks, you see that too, but I see how, you know, a lot of black people tend to be, you know, a little too sensitive towards that, and maybe it's not, you know, it's not well placed in some instances. Maybe the white folks aren't always out to get the black folks, and, you know, the black folks aren't always out to get the white folks either. You know, there's distrust on both sides, definitely.
Like, black people are oversensitive? Like, what, to humor about them?
Some maybe, yes.
Like, because if I, some black guy said a joke about a white person, no one would care.
Uh-huh.
But if, like,
but
then,
you also have to consider, look at society and look at where the white person is as opposed to the black person. Obviously, despite everything that we've been through, white people still have a tremendous advantage in this country. That has not changed. So you do have the upper hand in some ways. You know, you should be able to take a little bit of abuse. You know, it's not right because it shouldn't have to be that way. It shouldn't have to be where one group of people has an advantage over another. But I don't think there's any denying that white people have an advantage at this point. I mean, imagine if you woke up black.
Oh,
how
God.
It would change your life.
Yeah, it would.
I mean, I don't know. Are there any white people out there that would want to wake up black?
I don't.
All right, why not?
I don't know, because, like, you're right. There's a definite white person advantage, and I'd be looked down upon.
Uh-huh. I mean, like, I'm thinking, you know, whenever you go into a store, whenever you walk through a certain neighborhood, you're looked upon in a different way. And you know, white people cannot possibly understand that. They just can't. And I'll say live it. They cannot understand that. And that is accountable for a lot of the feelings and things that people say that we might think are irrational and uncalled for, but you just don't know what it's like.
They even listen to the music, like, there's, like, Public Enemy and BDP.
Uh-huh.
They say bad stuff about white people.
Yeah.
And, like, no white people care. They don't really care.
Yeah, well, you know, when you say things like that, it's kind of a cry for attention. Listen to us. We're angry. We mean business. Riots are the same thing.
And, like, the riots, they like going overboard. Like, people like Al Sharpton, like, they come out and, like, say stuff about white people. They have nothing to back it up on. They just accuse people all the time.
Well, you know, Sharpton has said some stupid things in the past. I think he's gotten a lot better, though, recently.
Yeah, like the Tawana Brawley thing, he made a big deal out of that.
Yeah, but, you know, he said recently that he thinks he may have been deceived.
It took him
a couple of years to say that, but he did say it.
I thought he made a mistake.
Yeah, it's important, though. It's important for both black people and white people, obviously, to embark on self-criticism and say, you know, this person does not represent me, because there's nothing worse than thinking that a race is represented by, you know, one person and everybody feels the same way. It's as far from the truth as you can possibly be. You know, individuals, that's what stands above all else.
I see that Sharpton's going in front of everybody and saying, I'm speaking for every black person on the planet.
He's not. He can't be. He can't possibly be.
That's what you think he is. He thinks he's like the god of black people.
I mean, I know lots of black people that think he's far worse than any white person I know thinks he is.
And he's like, sometimes he acts really stupid.
Well, but then again, he's not, you know, He is a symptom of the problem if he's even that much. He's not the problem itself.
I got another question.
Yeah.
Do you think Ross Perot is for real? Like, he actually has a chance to win the election?
I think it's amazing. I mean, it's a lot of fun just seeing this guy come up out of nowhere. I mean, of course, he's been around for some time, and he is a billionaire, but... you know, for all intents and purposes, he wasn't part of the political process at all. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's saying, Ross Perot, you know, he could actually have a sizable dent, maybe even win somehow. It makes the whole electoral process at least seem more interesting, even if it's not. It shows how disenchanted people are. I mean, everybody that was disenchanted with the political scene went and voted for Ross Perot, he would win. He would win the popular vote anyway, and if he didn't win the electoral vote, then we'd realize how unfair a system that is.
Think there are protest votes, his votes?
If all the protest votes protested the same way, or at least a sizable majority of them did, then you would see some change. And, you know, it's different because we've seen change in other parts of the world. We've seen things actually happen. We've seen walls come down and countries dissolve and people actually stop tanks with their bodies just by standing there. So we know that change is possible. We know that things that are bad can be changed into things that are good. How do we translate that and make it work in this country is something we've never tried. But we do know that we can make a difference if we do something. So maybe that'll translate on Election Day. Maybe we will make a difference.
I don't know if you saw on Newsday, there was a big three-part thing about Perot, and they said that he was negotiating hostage deals.
He did some things with MIAs in North Vietnamese back in the Vietnam War.
Or like buy him out of prison or something?
I think he tried things like that. Yeah, he tried to arrange some kind of a deal.
You were talking about David Duke before? Like, you mentioned his name?
I didn't mention his name. Somebody else did.
And he said, like, he wasn't a Republican? Yeah, he ran on the Republican Party.
Yes, he did. The Republicans were very embarrassed by him.
Why are they embarrassed by him?
Because he called himself a Republican, and they don't like to be looked upon as racist, but he most definitely was a Republican.
Well, Pat Buchanan was sort of racist.
Yeah, and he's a Republican, too.
Yeah, but they're not embarrassed about Buchanan, are they?
That's because he's not as bad as David Duke, at least not in their eyes.
Well, they just call him Duke White.
I don't know. But he seems to have faded away for the moment, anyway.
And Bush got the Republican vote, so it's Clinton.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to get the black vote this year?
You know, I think a lot of that is going to depend on vice presidential choices. And, you know, I have to say, somebody's going to pick a woman, someone's going to pick a black person, maybe someone's going to pick a black woman. I don't know. I think it's stupid the way that they do this, because it's so obvious why they're picking these people. It's to appeal to certain groups of people. But I think that is what's going to be the deciding factor.
Who do you think Clinton's going to pick for vice president?
I don't know. You know, I was thinking Cuomo at one point.
Neither.
But I really don't think Cuomo is interested, so I don't think they're going to drag him into this. Jackson is going to be picked by somebody, I'm pretty sure. I just don't know who. It's not going to be Bush, that's for sure.
Yeah, why would he want to stick with Quail Bush? I mean, he just did it to get the Midwestern vote.
To save face.
But
he lost it.
He's an embarrassment, Quail.
Yeah, he's an embarrassment. No kidding. But, you know, if he dumped Quail, then that would be expressing doubt in his own decisions.
Everybody else has doubt in Quail. I mean, you're saying the Republican Party is embarrassed about Duke. He should be embarrassed about Quail. Man,
they didn't pick him. They didn't pick Duke. You know, the White House didn't pick him for anything. But Bush was the one that went out on a limb for Quail, and if he were to come back now and say, yeah, I was wrong, you know, he might look better to some people, but I think for most of the Republicans, he looked bad.
He
looked weak
and
vulnerable. What?
Do you think Bush was wrong in picking Quail?
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, it depends how you look at it. From his point of view, I think he was wrong. From my point of view, it was the best thing he could have done.
Why is the best thing he could have done?
Because, I mean, Quail, you don't even need to say things about him because he'll say it himself. You know, he'll go out there and he'll make a fool of himself and say these things that don't make any sense or that are so completely absurd and make these crazy ideas. You know, it's too easy almost.
Give the man a microphone, he hangs himself with it.
That's what I said last week, yeah.
He's like stupid.
Nice to be quoted. But, yeah, it's I don't understand it. I really don't. I mean, maybe most of us put up in that position would say stupid things as well.
Well, he is like an average guy.
He's supposed to be more than an average guy if he's the vice president of the country.
He's like retarded, though.
But think about it. You know, we haven't thought about this enough. You know, if something did happen to Bush, this guy would, no kidding, be president.
That's scary.
Just like that, you know? It could happen any moment.
Scary.
You don't think about it enough, just like you don't think about nuclear wars starting. That could happen any moment, too. But one human being dying or being incapacitated is a lot more realistic than, you know, a nuclear war starting.
All right.
So, yeah, keep George healthy. That's the motto going around.
Can I say hi to a couple people?
Go ahead.
I want to say hi to Tom Drexler, Tim Airy, Tim LeBron, Artie, and Charlie.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks a lot.
632-6901, 632-6500. Good morning.
Hey, Eric. What's up?
How you doing?
All right. I have some information about Ren and Stimpy for all you fans out there. It says that...
6 episodes are out now and 13 more are coming, right?
Yeah, okay, yeah. It says in mid-August that Nickelodeon is going to introduce 20 new half-hour episodes.
20 new? Okay.
Yeah, so...
10 straight hours.
That thing was cool last week, Eric, you know, the line?
Teleconference.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, I know you said not to ask you, but...
not this week,
tonight, right?
In a couple of weeks, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, we'll try to do maybe one a month. How's that?
Yeah, it's cool, because it was pretty cool, because, you know, you got to talk to different people, and, you know, I know it must have been complicated for you, though.
Oh, I had nightmares about it. It's all these buttons and blinking lights and ringing tones and things like that.
All right. No, I was listening to some guy that called you about his friend getting jumped. What I don't know is if a friend of yours gets into a fight with somebody, why do they got to invite their whole gang? Why can't they just dish it out between themselves, you know?
Uh-huh.
I don't see the point in that. If it's between them, you know, it's between them. You don't have to bring your whole gang, you know.
I agree. And I think that goes beyond physical fights. It goes into all kinds of arguments. If you have an argument with somebody, it's really, you know, you between you and that person. And you shouldn't go, you know, on a campaign to get hundreds of people on your side, you know, unless there's really a need for that kind of thing.
Unless
you have to ask yourself,
like, weapons and stuff, but I don't understand that.
It's obviously to gain an advantage.
And the other guy, you don't have to, unless he brings a weapon, then I can see, you know, you bringing a couple of friends, but...
Right, but it's to gain an advantage, but you have to put things into perspective. It's a, you know, it's an argument, a fight of some sort. It's not World War II. You don't have to, you know, show a crushing defeat or whatever. You know, you just have to make a firm stand as to what you believe in, but that doesn't mean bringing hundreds of people in on it.
Yeah, no, people are crazy out there.
Yeah, but I don't think it's confined to one particular group, because I've seen that happen with lots of different
people.
Yeah,
it's with different races, not just particularly with one.
It's just a certain mentality, and it develops in society.
But, I don't know, like, with black people, I don't know, I'm not prejudiced, but I'm just saying, you know, like, you see them in groups, and they think, you know, that they rule, you know? That you can't dare say nothing to them, you know, and they see you quiet, and then they, you know, then they think that they can take advantage, you know. That's the way I see it. You know?
Well, that's the way you see it, but try to think of the way they see groups of white people, you know, when they're together. And maybe,
yeah, but I mostly see the toughness, you know, we rule from the black people.
Well, try to think why. You know, I think it's a reaction against something that has been here all the time.
Yeah.
And that's the only way to survive is to be tough.
Yeah,
you know?
But I don't know. I just noticed that in black people, you know, you could see a whole group of whites, but they won't like want to pick a fight. But you see, like black people right away, you know, even if you look at them the wrong way, right away that you know they want to beat the hell out
of
you.
First
of
all, a lot of 90% of the time, that's not a true representation at all.
I don't know. Just because you see them in a way, oh, what, you want to come out, you want to throw punches, you know? I don't know.
Well, maybe it's the way you're looking at them.
It's crazy. I don't understand it. I really don't understand it.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, you know, casting suspicious looks at each other is not the way to get anywhere.
Yeah, but that's the way a lot of fights start, because, you know, one looked at the other one with, like, with, you know, with that eye.
Uh-huh.
That's where, you know, a lot of fights start like that, you know? I mean, especially in school, you know? Like, oh, are you talking junk about, you know, and right away they want to throw punches down.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Well, that's the best way to get around that. Keep listening.
Okay.
All right? All right, good night.
Thanks for calling. Oh, yes, these things have been going on for years. You know, I don't know if they're ever going to stop. But you got to sort of stand out on a limb and be different. And not, you know, just whisper about other people that you don't understand. You know, it may sound simplistic, but getting to know people is the best way to understand the differences and appreciate them. 632-6901, 632-6500, area code 516. Good morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Not too bad. Well, I'm calling about the comment somebody made about what Russ Perot said about gay people going in the service.
Yeah.
The guy sounded like he thought it was a bad, you know, thing to say or a bad thing to think. I think it's true.
Why is that?
Well, I'm in the service myself. And I've been in for the past 4 years, and the living conditions you're forced to live with to begin with are very tight, you know? And I think it would be, it would bring more problems than it would good.
Well, you don't think gay people can serve in the armed forces as well as a straight person?
Oh no, I do. I do, as far as that goes. But you know, you don't only work together; you live together.
Uh-huh.
And I think a lot of people forget that. The same reason, only since recently they started letting women on board ships and stuff like that.
Well, have you ever lived with a gay person?
No, I haven't.
Well, what do you think it's like? You know,
See, I don't know, and that's why I don't think it would work, because there's a lot of fear in there, if it's justified or not.
Well, don't you think the best way to overcome the fear is to face it and not run away from it?
I don't think people are willing to do that yet. You know, and it might, like I said, it might be wrong, but you know, honest.
If you wait until people are willing to do something, you know, spontaneously, it might take forever. Sometimes you have to sort of push the issue a little bit.
Yeah, but if you force the situation on people. You know?
Well, what about the people that are being victimized here, namely the gay people that aren't allowed to be people? You know, you have to think of them as well, because they're as much a person as anybody else. And to say that they're not capable of something because of their lifestyle, and they have to be shut out of something.
But do you think that's fair for the straight person to be forced? You know, they don't have the choice anymore.
Well, I don't think it's really their choice to make how somebody else lives or what someone else's preference is.
But it's
they
their
have the
choice
right
to. To pick who they're going to be living with or something like that. At least you want to know that, you know, I mean, to put it blunt, that you're not going to be getting checked out or anything like that.
As long as basic, human respect is observed, I think that's really all you have the right to ask.
Which, how would it be in such tight quarters on board a ship?
If somebody feels towards you a certain way or has desires towards you, you know, that's something that you can't tell them not to. You can't stop them from doing that. But you can say, you know, don't put me in a situation where I feel uncomfortable by harassing me in any way. Anybody has the right to complain against that, you know, sexual harassment of any sort.
Yeah, that sounds good, but do you think it would actually work? Let's say if you're on a boat with about 100 guys and you put 3 gay men on that ship, would you think it's actually feasible that it would work?
I cannot envision the U.S. military being endangered by gays. I cannot picture that. You know, I cannot see how they would feel threatened at all. And, you know, I also can't see why people are fighting to, you know, if they can easily get out of something like that, why they're fighting to get into it. But that's something else. It's another whole issue.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, granted, it might be, you know, it's kind of, I guess they call that homophobic, you know?
Yeah, and it is.
It is, you're right. But, you know, I think it's just going to, it would cause a problem.
All right. Translate what you said, and instead of saying the word gay, say the word black, and you see how unfair it is, because you can say everything exactly the same way. Some of our callers are saying how they're very uncomfortable around certain groups of people, and yes, they're being honest by saying that, but it's also indicative of a problem.
Yeah,
and
I
you don't solve the problem
really
by victimizing
like
the people that you're afraid of.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, but I don't, you know, first of all, I mean, I can't imagine somebody, you know, gay or not, wanting to go into a situation that bad to put up with it, you know?
Well, I mean, when I say that, it means that I don't really understand the situation either, but I know it's possible. I know it's possible for a gay person to be really into the military. It is. I've seen people like that.
I've seen gay people in the military, but, you know, I've also seen them get thrown out because of it, you know?
Uh-huh. Well, that's not fair when that happens.
Yeah.
I cannot see how it can be
justified. On my own terms, you know, I've seen them get in and go through and fight all the way, and then once they get there, it's not worth it for them, and they get out anyway.
Uh-huh.
You know, they ask to get out, and because of the harassment they deal with and stuff, you know. But if you have command of a ship or something like that, you can't ask all your guys to, you know, change their mind so this one person feels comfortable.
But it's not a question.
It's not a question of
changing your mind. Do you have basic human respect for other people? That's all you need to do. You know, you don't have to go to meetings. You don't have to indulge in any kind of lifestyle you don't want to be a part of. You just have to let people be themselves. That's all you have to do.
Yeah, I guess that sounds good.
Hopefully you're doing that already, so it's really no big change.
Another thing I want to comment on was the other night on TV there was like an hour-long special on them L.A. riots.
Yeah, I saw that, like with Ted Koppel, right?
Yeah, it was.
Did you see the Daryl Gates interview afterwards?
Yes. Ooh. It was very interesting.
Unbelievable.
Very interesting. I kind of feel for the guy, you know?
You
I
do?
Mean, what he did was wrong, but he was a cop for, what, 40-something years? You know? And now he's going out like this, and it's kind of sad.
Well,
I
could see how he gets into a lot of problems, because he seems to be one of the most stubborn people I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. But it's a hard job, you know, and a lot of people, I think they could say, well, if I was him, you know, I would have done this. You know, the guy has more experience than anybody I know.
I think if there's anything that is more to blame than Daryl Gates, it's the whole way things were positioned, whereas the mayor and the chief of police were not communicating with each other at all. They didn't speak to each other, and apparently neither one had any influence over the other.
Yeah, it
That's
was unprofessional,
right.
Very unprofessional, I think. And he was at a fundraiser or something like that when, it, you know, when action should have been taken at the time.
Right.
But one thing I noticed, and they had a black guy, he stuck his head into the camera, you know, and is like, and he said, white people, we're not going to take it anymore, and it's not over until we say it's over, you know, and it really affected me, you know, it scared me, you know, thinking that the outcome this can have, you know, and, you know, how that, it was, you know, on a big scale, it was a small situation, you know, it could have gotten a lot worse than it did, and, you know, seeing how the cops handle that. You know, my parents, they lived down in Atlanta, and they said it started up there, but, you know, they ended it quick. And, I think that was just by luck, you know?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I think the news is making it like every black person thinks that was right, you know?
Oh, no,
and,
definitely not.
It's just kind of, you know, it was kind of scary, you know,
but,
to see
you know,
how it's
anger,
going.
Rage, and frustration do weird things to people. They really do. They make them into these really ugly creatures. And that's what happened.
Yeah. You know, I was disappointed by, you know, the outcome of that court case anyhow, you know.
That was unbelievable. Biggest surprise of the century, I think.
System is not, you know, working somehow, you know, in these certain cases, especially something that was, they knew was being looked at by so many people, you know, that it still came out that way.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's scary. It really is.
You know, it's when you see the rage, you have to understand that this is not just an isolated instance.
Exactly.
This is something that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
This, the only difference here was that we saw it ourselves. We all saw it, but that still didn't make a difference. So obviously, it's just going to keep happening, you know, with or without videotape.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes you feel like no matter what you do, it's not going to make any difference. And that leads to the rage and anger and all the hateful things that are said.
Sure. All right, I just wanted to call and touch on a couple things with you, and
okay.
I'm glad I called.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks.
All right, 632-6901 and 632-6500. Those are our two phone numbers tonight. The program is Brain Damage here on WUSB in Stony Brook. We're on for another 42 minutes. Good morning.
Hello.
Go ahead.
I have two things to talk about.
Okay.
First of all, I think it's kind of interesting, the George Bush preaching on family values, and that he was a member of Skull and Crossbones.
Uh-huh, the group at Yale, right?
Yes, and their initiation rite, I'm not so sure, is compatible with the ban on premarital sex and the pseudo-family values.
What is their initiation rite?
I think it has something to do with, like, elaborate discussions of like say their prowess or what. I'm not so sure. Prowess by George Bush.
Do they have transcripts of these sessions?
No.
That'd be something to get over a Freedom of Information Act.
But I just think that I think he's being a little bit duplicitous on this.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Second issue.
Uh huh.
somebody said earlier, I'm not prejudiced. Well, I want to say something. I am prejudiced.
Well, we all are.
And I'm always in the process of learning.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have natural biases. I look at somebody, and I have a bias. I think they look like somebody. I think they have certain features. And until I know their merits and their weaknesses, I don't know them. And I am prejudiced based on my appearance or what they sound like or what. Always.
Whatever,
I'm always learning.
Whatever you see in front of you, whether it's a voice in a telephone or a face in front of you or the car they're driving, you make certain judgments. And, of course, they're just based on things that you really have no way of backing up.
Right. I'm not a liberal. I'm a leftist.
Uh-huh.
I can claim to be a liberal. It's a haughty term.
Haughty term, yes.
It sounds like you're holy or something, or you're pious. It's baloney.
Uh-huh.
So, I think it's a matter of education is probably the better philosophy that could be professed rather than innuendo and this idea that no bigots in the Republican Party. Everybody's bigoted. You know, we should give us all a break, please.
Mm-hmm. Okay, anything else?
No, that's about it. I'm keeping it short and simple.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Good night.
632-6901. We are all bigots to a degree. And the only question is, how much will that affect the way we deal with other people? Can we control the ugliness within us and the misconceptions that abound inside our heads? Or are we going to let that dictate the way that we treat people and the way that we think and do our every daily bit of whatever it is we do every day? All right, let's take some more calls. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
I just wanted to say, like, a kid in my school, he's black, and he went to, like, a stationery store, and, like, he knew that the people were watching him, and, like, it's like he went to get his wallet or something, and, like, the lady flinched. Like, she thought he was pulling a gun or something. You know, and I think that's, like, wrong, because, like, yeah, she probably thought he was, like, in a gang or something.
Right, and if people treated you that way, you know, your entire life, you'd start acting in a different way.
Yeah, so I don't have anything against black people.
Uh-huh.
I can get along with them. Yeah, it's like, you know, if you can't get along with them, you know, like, you're stuck on the earth, man. It's like, get along with them, make the best of it.
Yeah, but don't get along with them for that reason. Get along with them because, you know, there's lots of good
like
people out there.
Get along with them for some other reason, you know, it's... You know, at least that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, if I don't like a person, it's like, not because the way they look, it's like, you know, I might not, you know, it's like, I might not, like them for who they are. It's like, I don't judge anybody like that.
Well, there's plenty of reasons to dislike somebody, but, you know, all the face value things are kind of meaningless. But, you know, how somebody feels, what they say, what they do, those are the reasons to either like or dislike somebody.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but just to base it on the way somebody looks or, you know, how they dress or anything like that is so superficial.
Yeah, and, it's like I went to a dance, too, and I'm like, you know, some kids stole my hat. It's like, you know, it's a pretty expensive hat, but it's like not the point.
Yeah.
And then the kid was Mexican, but, like, you know, it's like I'm going to hate every Mexican kid I see for the rest of my life.
Uh-huh.
It's not like I'm gonna judge everybody from then on.
That's good.
And it's like saying, you know, David Duke, that guy, you know, it's like this guy's a moron. It's like he openly admitted that he was in the KKK, like he was proud of it or something.
Right.
It's like I'm Jewish, and it's like I hate that guy. You know, it's like, you know, if his grandma slept with Hitler or something, he'd probably, like, admit that, too.
Uh-huh. So it's all part of the learning experience, right?
Yeah, it's like, he's trying to get, like, most publicity he can, you know, just to make it to life.
But, you see, what he does is he preys upon these feelings that are lying within us all at some point, some a lot closer to the surface than others, and people say, hey, I have these feelings, too. It's okay because a public person is saying that he has those feelings. And, you know, it's very bad for everybody, obviously, what happens.
Yeah, I know, but it's like he's proud of it or something.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I don't doubt that. And, you know, he might disclaim his past a bit, but, you know, you can never totally separate yourself from things like that.
Yeah. Before I go, I'd just like to say hi to a few people.
Okay.
Hi, Kevin, Matt, Jeremy, Jay, Chris, Cassie, and Dan.
That's it?
Yeah.
Sure you haven't forgotten anybody?
No, that's about it.
Okay.
And thanks for having
right.
me on.
Take care.
And bye.
All right, 632-6901 and 632-6500. Those are the phone numbers for the radio station here. We'll be taking calls for a while longer. Good morning.
Hey, you know that kid that called before?
No. Which one? There's been hundreds of people calling.
I'm about walking with the gangs of more black people.
What about it?
Books like this, Bulls Rule the World.
Okay, well, we're not going to imitate other people. That's not playing fair. Good morning. Hello?
Yeah, sir. What's your name? About that guy who called up from the military or whatever?
Yeah?
What'd you think of that guy?
Well, I'm not going to comment on callers and tell me what I think. I mean, I talked to him, and, you know, that's pretty much how I felt, what I said.
Well, I just like to say, it's like he's saying, like, he doesn't want, like, gay people in the military because, like, he doesn't want to be cooped up with them.
Uh-huh.
Say you're on a train, and you're in a train car with a bunch of women, like, for, like, a long ride. You're not going to want to sleep with every woman in the car, are you?
Good point.
Like, I think a gay person can control himself.
Yeah, and I hope we all can control ourselves.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine that same scenario from a woman's point of view. There might be some apprehension, you know, it's wrong to judge people based upon your apprehensions.
I don't know. I just thought it was stupid, like, what he was saying. He's like, I don't want to be cooped up with them. And then you asked him, has he ever lived with him? He's like, no. It's like, then how can you say this is going to happen? When you were saying about the bomb shelter before?
Yeah.
Like, I was down there the other day, right?
You were down in the bomb shelter?
Yeah. Guess who was hanging out there?
Who?
Elvis and Jim Morrison.
That's where they are, huh?
That's why it was kept secret.
You didn't happen to get the phone number, did you?
Nah, I forgot. It's like I walked right past, but I could have just looked at it.
Well, we have to find out more facts about this thing. So if anybody out there has phone numbers, pictures, that kind of thing, feel free to send them in.
They sort of rushed me out because you know what they've been saying. Elvis was an undercover drug agent.
Yeah, well, that's pretty common knowledge by now.
I know, because when I walked in, they pretty much rushed me out because like they didn't want me to know they were alive. But I saw them.
Uh huh.
I was just like Elvis. He was like, no man, no way.
What about JFK?
JFK, nah, I think he went out for like a cup of coffee or something.
He's over 75 years old now.
I know. I think he went out for a cup of coffee or something.
Wow.
It's like, I didn't see him there. But I did see like embroidered towels and stuff that said JFK on him.
Uh-huh.
Like, so I think he probably went out for coffee or something.
Too bad you didn't snatch one of those towels. It'd be worth a pretty penny, I'll bet. But
Yeah, I told you. It rushed me out.
Yeah.
Also, that Star 6ix9ine.
Yeah?
That does work.
That does work, huh?
My friend told me about it the other day, and like he's like, I'm going to hang up on you now. I'm going to call you back. And he's like, I'm just going to say hi to you so you know it's me. Then I'm going to hang up. And he goes, then hit *6ix9ine. So I hung up. He hung up. He called back and said hi. And then he hung up. And then I hung up, and I hit the thing, and it dialed his number.
Okay,
right back.
Now here's the scary part. Everybody out there listening should try this. You don't have to pick up. All you have to do is call somebody, and I think it has to be in your local area, but I'm not sure how this extends yet, because I've been able to play with it in my area. But if you call a particular number and then hang up before the person you're calling picks up, they can then pick up their phone whenever they want to. They can pick it up an hour from now if nobody else calls them, and dial *6ix9ine, and your phone will ring. It will call you back. The last person that called, whether or not the phone was picked up. It's meant for those people that fall out of the shower trying to get to the phone and just miss it. But of course, it's also a lot scarier because you have to wonder, you know, who's getting your number, who's getting information about you that they shouldn't be getting in the first place.
It's like, what if you get a wrong number? You call up, you ask someone, they're like, no, wrong number, and they call you back.
Yeah, they get even, you know, they even the score.
It's like you hang up on them because you got the wrong number, but they're calling you back to talk to you.
Uh huh.
It's
changing the entire rules of the game as far as making phone calls.
Mm.
You won't be able to call to see if somebody's home and just hang up, and of course that's not really polite to do that anyway, but every time you call somebody, they'll know who you are.
That's pretty. How come the telephone company didn't tell us about this stuff?
I don't know. That's a very good question. You should ask them.
I don't know. They'd probably call me back.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? Let's find out, okay? We're going to find out right now.
Do you want me to talk, or are you going to?
Actually, I can't do it with you on the phone, because all the lines are taken up, unfortunately.
All right, well, it's like I just want to hit a couple more points.
Okay.
But Like with that kid called up?
Yeah.
Like said Mark Gunning was a loser?
Yeah.
It's like, how could he say that? He's never met him.
Well, I don't know if he's ever met him, but...
I know he hasn't met him.
How do you know he hasn't met him? Does everybody here know each other?
I don't know him, but I work with Mark down at the studio on Sundays.
Uh-huh.
And, like, he's called before. And, like, he's the one, I believe, I'm not going to, like, pinpoint them because I could be wrong, but I believe he's the one that calls up and says he's Mr. Quail and curses.
Well, I don't know, and I don't really care.
I could
people,
be wrong, though.
What people say and what they say they do and all that kind of thing, but...
Also, with Mr. Quail called up before?
Yeah.
It's like, what's your name? It's like, he was saying that, like, one-parent families can't work. Say, well, what about widowers and widows? Like, if their spouse dies.
That's a very good point. And a lot of people think that this whole marriage business is for the birds anyway. It's, you know, artificial. Most marriages fail, and a lot of people aren't happy together.
Mm.
And maybe it's not natural to be together with the same person all the time. Maybe it's not. You know, we have to start looking at alternatives. That's how we evolve.
What are you supposed to do if your spouse dies? You're supposed to run out and go get married again?
You better hurry up, or Dan Quayle will be all over your case.
I know.
If you have a kid.
What's it? It's like I was reading Dear Abby the other day.
Yeah.
It's like, if Mr. Quayle calls back, I want to get his opinion on this. Some guy wrote in, and he was talking about these, he works at a hospital, and these two nurses that work there are lesbians, and one of them got artificial insemination, and they now have a child.
I saw that, yes.
Yeah. What did you think?
Well, I liked her response because the person writing in was all upset, saying, how could such a thing happen? Dear Abby was, you know, you're the one with the problem here.
You got two loving parents. It's like, who cares if they're both women or both male?
What more could you ask for?
It's like...
Maybe three loving parents. I don't know.
I don't know about that. What's your name? Also, with that birth control coupons...
I don't even think that
I know. It's like,
warrants a response.
I know, but he was bitching like that it's like they have children and then they get hooked on crack and drugs, so we gotta pay money so they can buy that. It's like he's saying give them $10 a week, so $40 a month. It's like how if you're spending $40 a month, how often are you having sex?
I don't know.
It's like if you need $40 worth of birth control a month.
Uh-huh.
It's how often are you having sex? It's like, and won't that cost us money? That cost us more money than go out and buying an ounce of crack or whatever.
These are all questions that I don't know if they even deserve to be raised, but they're all questions, that's for sure.
Also, what he was saying, like he's blaming on Murphy, what's it called?
Murphy Brown, yes.
Yeah, Murphy Brown. It's like, I have a joke about that, sort of.
You have a joke?
Well, it's sort of about Dan Quayle, but it's not about Murphy Brown.
Okay.
And it's not dirty, so don't worry. Dan Quayle is now accusing the gay riots of 1980 on the skipper from Gilligan's Island because he said, "Come here, little buddy," too many times.
Well, you know how it is. Those things incite people.
Taken out of context.
Yeah, taken out of context and out of another dimension.
Mm. Also, you were saying about, like, how many people would want to wake up black.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen or heard of the movie Watermelon Man?
I've heard the title. I'm not familiar with it, though.
No, because that's about, it's like, it's like a movie, it's sort of a movie about that. It's like the guy is, like, a heavy racist, and, like, he like, hates black and stuff, and then one morning he wakes up black.
Uh-huh.
And, like, then, like, all the other businessmen... he used to work with, it's like he tries to tell them it's him, but they're like, yeah, okay, and like they start like slandering him and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like putting him down.
It's like the old Kafka tale, you wake up a cockroach one day, you know? I'm making any kind of parallel there, but it's just people start, you know, treating you differently, and there's no reason for them to treat you differently just because of the way you look. Well, I guess if you were a cockroach, though, that would certainly be... some reason to treat you differently, but basically, you know, the looks we're talking about are cosmetic, you know, simple cosmetic looks, and
well,
nothing dramatic.
well, you're talking about waking up a cockroach. It's like, what about in Nightmare on Elm Street 4 when she turns in, when the girl turns into a cockroach?
Uh-huh.
Like, Freddy kills her. Pretty depressing.
Yeah, let's not even talk about that.
No. Also about, like, you were saying, like, people choosing vice presidents and stuff.
Yeah.
The Libertarian Party has had its...
Yeah, okay, here we go.
What?
135. It took 95 minutes tonight for somebody to say the word libertarian. Usually, within the, first,
get on.
Within the first 20 minutes, somebody says libertarian. But this is the longest it's ever taken.
First 20 minutes, he's doing news.
Well, that's true, but that somehow doesn't stop it.
Mm.
Someone yells through the door. I don't know.
Well, the Libertarian Party has had its presidential candidate for, I believe, 8 months now, and Andre Marou's vice presidential candidate is Nancy Lord.
Uh-huh.
Who, obviously by the name, is a woman.
Yeah.
And it's like they're not choosing her to make a statement or to appeal to women, because Nancy Lord happens to have two doctorates, one in medicine and one in law.
Well, you know, I would say they're choosing her for that reason in addition. You know, I think they're obviously choosing her to appeal to women as well.
Well, maybe, but...
If they know anything about politics, that's what they're going to be doing. I just don't think it's, you know...
I don't think it's coincidental either, but it's not like they're just choosing her for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they're just going out and getting a woman. She's got a good head on her shoulders.
Yeah, it's not the only reason. But Geraldine Ferraro has a good head on her shoulders, too. In fact, there's a lot of women with good heads on their shoulders. A lot of black people with good heads on their shoulders. A lot of people of all religious and ethnic persuasions that do, and that's overlooked too much.
You never give them a chance.
Right.
Well, so, all right, well, I guess that's about it. And
okay, listen, I want to get on the phone with the phone company now.
All right, hold on. I just want to say hi to a couple people.
Hurry up.
I want to say hi to Damon, Amy, and Tom. If you're listening, give me a call. And
okay.
Nanu Nanu.
All right, you heard him. 632-6901, 632-6500. Let's... get on with the phone company and see what they know about the Star 6-9 business. Of course, it doesn't work from here because we're in crazy land with our phones.
New York Telephone, Miss Green, can I help you?
Yes, hi. I was wondering if you could help me. I'm trying to find out, I've heard that Star 6-9 works on phones now, and I'm wondering what that feature is.
Okay. If you'd like to ring back the person who just called you, you hit Star 69.
I see. Can you tell me if that works in my area?
One minute, please. I'll check that for you.
Oh, great. It's not going to work in my area. I know that. Sounds like a police station.
No, I'm sorry. It doesn't appear to be working in the area that you're on right now.
Does it work in most areas?
There are some areas that's not available in.
Uh-huh. But say, you know, Port Jefferson, for instance, would it work in 473 Exchange?
473? Hold on. I'll check for you.
Oh, I got a nice operator there.
Yes, it appears to... Yes.
It does. Okay, great. So it works in most places, and the way it works, you dial star 69, and it rings back the last person who called you.
Yes.
And does a person have to be local, or can they be anywhere in the island?
It could be anywhere in the island, as long as their number has the service also.
I see. Okay, great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right, have a nice night.
You too. Wow, that's if that's true, that's pretty scary. I mean, somebody from Montauk presumably can call you and... And you can call them right back with star 69. Now, this is a form of caller ID, and usually you're supposed to be able to, you know, to ask for that kind of thing and ask to be blocked. But for some reason, it's been overridden without telling anybody. So, by all means, play with it, folks. Play around with it and see what it does and see who's calling you. But, you know, your privacy might be being violated by doing this. Whew. 632-6901. We can't do it, so we can't call you back. And I'll prove that. All right, we have an outside dial tone here. Star 6-9. And that's what we get. In fact, we get that for just about everything we try dialing. Good morning.
Hi.
How you doing?
Did you see that Newsday thing with that guy, Archie? It was on May 25th.
What, the cartoon Archie?
Well, no, on the front cover.
My favorite cartoon. On the front cover? Archie was on the front cover?
No, it wasn't a cartoon. It was a guy.
Oh, Archie's a guy in a cartoon. Wait, there's another guy named Archie? That's not a cartoon.
No, he was a gangster.
A gangster?
No. You're not going to say. He was in SIB.
SIB, Strong Island Boys.
Yes.
Okay, now I'm with you. Now, okay, this guy named Archie was on the front cover of Newsday.
Yes.
What about it?
Well, did you see it?
No, I didn't.
Oh.
Because all the Newsdays were sold out that day for some reason.
Well, anyway.
I don't know why.
This guy had a tattoo on his underneath his bottom lip.
Uh-huh.
You know, inside his mouth that said hardcore.
How do you have a tattoo inside your mouth?
I don't know, but it said hardcore.
And how do you show it off? How do you show it off? I don't get it.
You open up your bottom lip, I guess. It said hardcore. It looked like it said yard sale.
It looked like it said yard sale?
Yeah.
Well, maybe it was a yard sale as well. A hardcore yard sale of the best kind. Wow. So basically you're asking me if I saw that and if I saw the tattoo.
Yes.
And my answer is I didn't, so...
Well, this guy was weird because my sister used to hang out with this guy.
Uh-huh.
And he always used to talk with a lisp. And like, yeah. You know, like, what's up, man? Get me some cigarettes.
Well, maybe it's because his lip was extended showing off that tattoo.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know the first thing about it.
But he always asked people for cigarettes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the guy's cool and everything, but I don't know. Well, he always asked people for cigarettes.
Is asking people for cigarettes unusual? I get that all the time.
What?
People ask me for cigarettes.
No, he says, go get me some cigarettes, and they buy them for him.
Oh, that's different. that's one step beyond that.
My cousin and my sister used to hang out with him all the time.
Did you buy him cigarettes?
I didn't hang out with him.
Oh. Well, did they?
Probably.
Yeah? You know what kind of cigarettes he smoked?
I have no idea.
You can tell a lot by, you know, what kind of cigarettes somebody smokes.
I guess so.
Filters, wide bodies, whatever, you know?
Well, anyway, another thing. About that Quail, Mr. Quail guy.
Why does everybody like to talk about him?
Because he's an idiot.
People like to talk about idiots, don't they?
Well, this guy does not deserve to be talked about, but, you know, I just got to say that he's an asshole.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up there, Eric?
How you doing?
Not bad. No, I just, like, it kind of caught me off guard here because I'm sitting here just, I leave it on the phone.
Oh, that's how I like to catch people, is off guard.
Yeah, rather than, like, listen to it ring for, you know, half an hour, I get kind of tired of it, almost crazy.
It's a nice sound, though, nice lulling sound.
Yeah, it almost puts you to sleep.
Yeah, especially at 1:45 in the morning.
Oh, well, are you, like, a cigarette expert? Can you, like, tell, like, something about someone just by the brand of cigarettes that they smoke?
I cannot, but I know that you can.
Oh, all right.
What kind of cigarettes do you have?
Chesterfield Kings.
Chesterfield Kings. Sophisticated. And, you know, you like foreign culture.
Oh, well, thank you. Even though they're made in the United States, it sounds good.
Yeah, well, I know they're made in the United States, but they present an aura.
Oh, like the Duke of Chesterfield.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, but, well, yeah, that is true.
I mean, Chesterfield is not a hick name, I'll have you know.
No, I know. The Duke of Chesterfield was quite a guy. Also has a couch and a hat named after him, I believe.
He's got all kinds of things.
But just a touch on, I have about 20 points I'd like to make. One of them is like kind of like a play on semantics. Like everyone, like some of your politically correct people refer that black people or Negro is not a proper name to use with them. Afro-American is. Well, I don't think that's true because Haitians aren't from Africa. There are blacks from Cuba. There are blacks from all over the world.
Well, I think the whole thing is pretty stupid. I mean, you know, when you refer to people by colors, too, you got to, you know, we become very immune to it. But think of what you're saying. You're saying blacks.
They're people, yeah.
They're people, you know, but you're calling them by a color.
No, I'm not saying this personally. I'm just saying
I'm not saying you're wrong for doing it. I'm just saying look at the absurdity of what we all do.
Oh, yeah,
I know.
Do it. I wish it could be to a point where you just say, you know, look at that person, rather than, oh, you see that black, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like you forget that the person's a human being.
And the guy in the beginning of the show was talking about Consuelo, he was talking about the Spanish kids. Well, I don't think they're exactly from Spain. I mean, if you want to call them Hispanics, I guess that would encompass something, but the chance that there's a whole big group of kids from Spain going to Consuelo High School, I don't think so.
That would be a kick, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know, he's calling them Spanish, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And then another little play on semantics here is kind of like, even though we know Democrat and Republican doesn't stand for anything, if you did want to, like, try to, like, give something to the parties, you can consider the Democrats socialists or moderate socialists, and the Republicans, you can call them fascists or moderate fascists. And if you take that true, you'll find out that really holds.
Uh-huh.
With the Republicans pretty much want to make everyone, like, fundamental Christians.
It's interesting how in some countries the fascists just, you know, run on the ticket as fascists.
Yeah.
And they don't care.
I know, they
come
straight
Mussolini's
out, yeah.
Mussolini's granddaughter there on, you know, actually having a seat in Italy, and she's a fascist, a neo-fascist, and damn proud of it, too.
I know. Well, yeah, they're not, like, going to beat around the bush with you, you know? And
It's, in a way, it's refreshing to see people just come out and say what they are, even though it's distasteful as hell.
Yeah, I know. It's like, well, at least you don't take me for being a total idiot, you know? Like, saying, oh, well, you know, you can't see that I'm a fascist or I'm a socialist, you know?
It cuts a lot of time out of it, you know, where you're trying to cover up for, you know, all your sins. You just admit what they are at the beginning and say, yeah, you know,
it's called the
I think
Republican
this ethnic group
Party,
should be
like
eliminated
the
completely.
Fascist Party. Why don't they just call the Democrats like the moderate socialist party?
Well, I don't think, to be honest, I don't think there's all that much socialist about any major party in this country.
I would disagree with you there.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I just don't see very much of the Democrats are doing.
It's kind of like a socialist idea that it's a job of the government to support people, which it's not.
Uh-huh.
In a socialist government, it is, but not in a, you know.
But to the extent that Democrats do it, I mean, you know, it seems so wimpy. But then again, everything they do seems wimpy.
Yeah, no. Democrats are the ones who, see, when you get, like, a budget, the Democrats are the ones who raise taxes when they get in. The Republicans leave them at that platform, just wait for the next Democrat to come in and raise them because he wants to, you know, our you know, what was it, Great Society under, well, you had Roosevelt, you know, all of his socialist programs, and you had Johnson comes in with this great society, you know, super great, you know.
So I don't know if social programs are necessarily socialist in nature all the time.
Well, the Democrats think to solve every problem is to throw money at it, and the Republicans think the solution is by making everyone Christian, they'll be happy, or making everyone follow their morality is... You know.
It's interesting, though. You mentioned the raising taxes business. Did you read the paper recently and you hear what Gaffney is doing? You know, he's interested in laying off people and raising taxes and all the things that he was criticizing, you know, last county executive for.
Well, that's the thing, though.
And he's a Republican, and now all of a sudden, you know, the exact same thing is happening all over again.
Well, you see, you can't say, like, I mean, like, for a Republican for that, it means, like, you know what they are. It's funny, though. If like, Republicans were real conservatives... they wouldn't be raising taxes, you know, I mean, blah, 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 and Democrats were real liberals, they wouldn't be really trying to cut down on your personal freedom.
Right, and that's,
I mean,
that's,
they work hand in hand with the Republicans.
And that's what I'm saying here, that the two are not that far apart, Republicans and Democrats.
Most people in the political process are not Republican, you know, they're not conservative, they're not liberal, most of them are authoritarians, they just want to keep themselves in power because it's a self-perpetuating process, you know?
Right. Did you hear that guy in, what is it, Florida is not running for something like a 20th term? I think he served 19 terms in the House of Representatives. That's, you know, practically 40 years.
I guess they like him. Yeah, but I mean, Ted Kennedy's been a senator from Massachusetts since, like, Christ was a carpenter, you know?
It seems that way, doesn't it?
But I mean, and another thing is this guy, like, from the Army, he's talking about, like, I don't know why everyone automatically thinks that as soon as a gay person sees a man, he's going to fall in love with him and want to have sexual intercourse with him. I mean, gay people have taste, too, you know?
That's a very good point.
Yeah, you know, I mean, they're not much different from us, you know? I mean, and then it's kind of like a John from Stony Brook, I believe his name is. He was saying, I'm leftist, not liberal. Well, let's think about this. Stalin's was considered a left-wing dictator, and Hitler's considered a right-wing dictator. Don't you see that kind of like, whoa, right and left, real big difference there? I think the political, if people want to look at a real political spectrum, they have to open it up to like a four-point like one. You can't say left-right, that means nothing.
Uh-huh.
It really means nothing, which I think the best way to do it is to open it up on like a personal freedom scale and an economic freedom scale. That's pretty much the two major issues.
That sounds good to me. I like that.
And then base it on kind of like people who propose a lot of economic freedom but kind of relatively little personal freedom. Those would be considered your real average conservatives, say like the John Birch Society.
Uh-huh. Are they still around, those people?
Excuse me? Oh, yeah, they're still around, nice. Ooh. Kicking and strong.
Wow.
Well, I don't know how strong. They make it a point not to get themselves politically involved, but they're an organization.
Yeah.
And then, like, your people who would proponent, like, very high... personal freedom, but like very little economic freedom would be considered your real liberals.
Uh-huh.
Someone who doesn't like any freedom in any category would be considered an authoritarian, a statist, a collectivist, whatever you like to call them. And then people who proponent both high economic and personal freedom are your libertarians.
Yep.
Yep, yep, yeah. I know. I know
again.
You're waiting
just,
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, waiting for someone to come out with the Libertarian Party. But and as for the Rodney King case, a lot of people are saying that it's the whole judicial system that's wrong because of this one case. First, you know, that wasn't a federal court, that was a state court.
Right.
And the problem doesn't lie, well, in that one instance, doesn't lie with the whole judicial system. It lies with the California Penal Code. Now, the California Penal Code says that if the jury can't convict you, he was brought up, I think the cops were brought up on 5 charges, I think it was?
I don't know if it was 5, but they were brought up on several.
Yeah, and that the jury, I think it was 5. The jury convicted them guilty on 4 out of the 5. If they have a shadow of a doubt in one of the 5 convictions, they throw the whole thing away. So it's not like the jury said, oh my God, they're not guilty, let's let them loose. That's not true. They convicted them on 4 of the 5 charges.
Now, wait a minute. No, they read off charges, and each of the charges was not guilty. They read off at least 3 charges that I could remember in the courtroom, and it was not guilty on each of them. Are you saying they found them guilty on some, but they have to...
they have to
one
find
not guilty,
guilty
outweighs
on, like,
all the guilty?
Majority, if not all of them, I believe the California Penal Code law states. New York Code, the New York one is different. The Florida one's different. Alabama, every state has its different little...
All right, I don't know. I have to look into this a little further, but...
Coming up onto a federal case now, King?
Uh-huh.
I'm asking you.
I haven't heard anything about that, and I'd like to know. I'd like to know what they are doing on the federal level. I haven't heard much, and that's not a good sign.
Hmm. All right, well, enough of the air. Can I say hi to some people, you know?
Go ahead. Make it fast.
Oh, you... All right. I'd like to say hi to Danielle, Brian, Matt, Amy, Steve, Jen, and Sean, and Coram, and Craig the Socialist in Miller Place.
Okay.
Take it easy, then.
Take care. A lot of socialists out there in Miller Place. Okay, we're... Well, we got a couple minutes left, so we'll take a couple more phone calls. Oh, a dramatic theme has entered. You know, I haven't heard this dramatic theme in a while. I almost don't know what I'm supposed to do. You see, the way it works here, we do our job, we, you know, do what we have to do on the radio, and occasionally we get little signals, you know, like a red light means something, except our signals come over the air, and this is one of them. And I think this particular signal means that I'm supposed to call something and find out something, find out a bit of information, and unless I'm mistaken, the bit of information that I have to find out right now is, what's for lunch?
Good morning. Today, Thursday, May 13th, at all cafeterias for breakfast, Wolfson buttermilk hotcakes, cottage fries, sausage patties, and eggs to order. Lunch is hearty beef and vegetable soup, French bread pizza with cheese or sausage, tuna noodle casserole, fried rice, Italian beans, hamburgers, deli, and salad bar. Dinner is hearty beef and vegetable soup, turkey pot pie, vegetable lo mein, tomato meatloaf, potato O'Brien, French cut green beans, glazed carrots, hamburgers, pasta bar, and salad bar.
Stop.
The contracts are in if you want to sign up the next semester. Come over with ID. And also we have the contracts for the summer declining balance. Thanks again for calling the FSA Meal Line.
Ah, yes. All this food being thrown at me. Whew. Well, that's what's for lunch for now. It's kind of out of date. May 13th? I guess they don't change the menu all that much, do they? I don't know if you've ever been to a cafeteria at Stony Brook. I'll bet a lot of our listeners haven't. They have an endless loop of this music. Sort of the proud Centaurian kind of a thing. They say it inspires the cooks. I don't know. Anyway, let's go back to the telephone to see who or what is out there. Good morning.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Nothing really. I just want to say a couple of things here.
Okay.
All right, one of them is,
what you were talking about, how, you know, one of the listeners was talking about how, like, cops are getting, like, too trigger happy and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Right? Well, in the next couple of years, I'm going to become a cop on Long Island, all right? I'm really looking forward to it and all that, all right?
Okay.
And I got to say one thing about this trigger happy stuff is I don't care who pulls a gun on me, all right? Well, but if I see, like, a black or even a white pull a gun on me, all right, uh-huh. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to shoot at him. And I don't care how many shots I put into him. I'm going to shoot at him, all right? So I'm sick of these people saying that the cops are too trigger happy. Because I got three uncles that are cops, all right? And, you know, and one of them actually shot a person, you know?
Uh-huh.
He doesn't regret doing it because he had to do it to save his life.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, even if, like, you were out there, any of the, even the people who said that, if they were out there, and somebody pulled the gun on them, they're going to shoot right back at him, you know?
Right. Well, I think the question is, you know, how much is too much? Like, okay, you would shoot somebody to protect your life, to save your life, but, you know, would you hail them with, you know, 25 bullets or something like that? Would that be necessary?
No, and you couldn't do that because the guns out here only carry six shots because
right.
they're 38 specials.
Right. Would you aim for, you know, the legs to incapacitate the person? Would you try to kill them? You know, there's things like that people are concerned about.
But you don't know. If these people are, like, drugged up on PCP or something, you know, you can hit them in the legs as much as you want, and they're still going to come at you and stuff.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So it doesn't really matter like that. But, I mean, I'm not going to, like, aim for the head.
Right.
You know what I mean? To kill them like that way, you
see,
know?
The thing is, you know, cops are special because... You know, they're in the line of fire a lot more than average people.
Of course.
And they're expected to show constraint. There's a lot of, you know, it's very hard for the average person to be able to do that. And when cops act like average people, they get condemned for it because they're not supposed to be average people, you know what
exactly.
I mean?
Exactly. That's
it's a catch-22.
I mean, this thing with Rodney King, all right. I understand that was pretty stupid, all right?
Uh-huh.
You know, I mean, that was dumb. I mean, for them to beat him that much, I mean, they should just try to restrain him in other ways.
Right.
I mean... How many cops were out there? There were so many cops. I mean, all you had to do was get a couple of people to hold them down and handcuff them. But I got to admit, all right, now, I don't care if you call this prejudice or not, but the blacks do cause more of the crime.
Well, there are more black people in that area of the world.
Yeah, well, I know, and they're causing most of the crime. Because I was just at the park the other day with a couple of friends, and all these black people started coming down and starting with us and, you know, all my friends and stuff. For no reason. We didn't do nothing.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
And, well, you know, again, you know, I don't think you can generalize and say it's because they're black. Maybe they were just idiots, you know?
Not all of them.
Idiots come in all colors, you know?
I know that. I mean, the Japanese are like that, too.
Well, I mean, not all of any group is like one thing or another,
yeah,
but every group has
majority,
its idiots.
I have to admit.
I don't see how you can say the majority of any particular group is a certain way, good or bad, you know?
Yeah, and another thing with the military.
Yeah?
I mean, the gays shouldn't be in the military.
Why is that?
That's not good when they're in the military.
Why?
Come on, if you're, like, on a mission or something, I don't want some, you know, faggot looking at my butt when we're out there and stuff.
Well,
I mean,
I don't know how you think they are thinking about you, but, you know, I don't know. It's very hard to get into in the last 2 minutes that we have left, but I think you're generalizing a bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, you know, that's just not where they belong, all right? Because, I mean, they're too feminine for that anyway.
Well, you know, a lot of gay people are not effeminate, for one thing, and a lot of straight people are.
Yeah, well...
That's something that a lot of people can't understand, I know, but it's true.
I guess it depends on how you look at it, really.
Yeah. I mean, look, you have females in the Army now, do you not?
Yeah, I know. That's true. And I personally feel they don't belong there.
Uh-huh. Well, they're there, and I don't think they're going to go back.
Yeah, I know. But a lot of, like, units, they're not allowed on Special Forces and stuff.
Uh-huh.
A lot of them, like Army Rangers, they will not allow them.
Right.
Navy SEALs, they will not allow them. And it should stay that way.
Right.
Right, because that's one place where they do not belong. Not at all, really.
Well,
that's
time will tell on all this, but we're out of time now. I want to thank you for calling.
All right, sure.
Okay, we're going to be back again next week talking about all this stuff and more. Stay tuned for The Big Guy, and keep listening to WUSB in Stony Brook, and have fun, whatever it is you do. Good night.